From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Russian warplanes flew from an Iranian base for a second day Wednesday, carrying out more airstrikes in Syria. The defense ministry said the targets were once again Islamic State militants. Moscow-based Carnegie analyst Alexander Baunov said the tactical goal is to reach overwhelming force in Syria and closer ties with Iran. U.S. spokesman Mark Toner Wednesday repeated the view that the Russian use of an airbase in Iran is unhelpful and only complicates what he calls a very dangerous situation.
Our concerns remain very vivid, and we're trying to remain focused on, specifically with Aleppo, but on a broader scale, trying to get a cessation of hostilities back in place in Syria, and this doesn't help it.
Russia first announced strikes using heavy bombers and fighter bombers from an Iranian base Tuesday. An Iranian official who heads the parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Committee said there's no permanent stationing of Russian forces in his country. Police in Zimbabwe Wednesday fired tear gas and water cannon to break up dozens of protesters opposed to the reintroduction of local banknotes. The protesters marched in the capital Harare with the intent of demonstrating outside the central bank headquarters. Promise Mukwananzi is among those marched.
The message is very clear that Robert Mugabe must now resign and pave way for the fresh impetus of the country. And that is what we are going to be doing. Whether he listens, whether he doesn't, what is going to happen is that we, the people, are going to take back our power.
Zimbabweans fear the banknotes aimed at bridging a currency shortage will lead to another bout of hyperinflation similar to what happened in 2008. It is the latest sign of public discontent in that southern African country beset by an ailing economy, including high unemployment. This is VOA News. The second highest-ranking official at North Korea's embassy in London defected to South Korea Wednesday. Tae Yong-ho arrived with his family in Seoul. He is said to have told South Korean officials he defected out of disgust with the government of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, a desire for democracy and concern over his children's future. Thousands of people, including Balahenge Merville, lined up Wednesday for yellow fever vaccinations in the capital of Democratic Republic of Congo, Kinshasa. He says yellow fever is a cruel illness, and even though he's vaccinated for only a year, he encourages for others. The vaccination campaign is aimed at curbing a yellow fever outbreak which began earlier this year in Angola and has spread. Health officials hope to vaccinate 14 million people over 10 days, but they're only receiving a diluted dose because of limited supply. A civilian and policeman were both killed Wednesday in clashes in the northeast town of Beni in Democratic Republic of Congo during a protest against the inability of the government to halt civilian massacres by rogue rebel groups. At least 50 people were killed in the latest incident Saturday by suspected Ugandan rebels on the outskirts of Beni. Hundreds have died in similar attacks since 2014. South Africa's two main opposition parties, the Democratic Alliance and Economic Freedom Fighters, announced Wednesday they're unable to form coalition governments in some of the country's key cities following this month's local elections. Imusi Mamani is leader of the Democratic Alliance.
It is quite clear that we would never agree on ideological issues. Couldn't be. Never be able to do that.
But he welcomed the EEF's pledge to back his party on council matters against the African National Congress, which suffered its biggest electoral setback since becoming the country's dominant post-apartheid party, losing municipal control in Pretoria, Johannesburg, and Port Elizabeth. One person was killed and several others wounded Wednesday in the Malian capital Bamako in clashes outside a courtroom with police against the arrest of a popular radio show host, Mohamed Youssef Bathily, known as Razbath, a frequent government critic. He had been charged with breaking public morality rules. The court hearing was postponed. What's called the world's largest aircraft lifted off Wednesday on its maiden flight north of London. The Airlander 10, described as part airplane, part helicopter, part airship that measures more than 90 meters long. Stephen McLennan is chief executive of the company that made it, Hybrid Air Vehicles.
What it does now is fly point to point, a bit like a giant helicopter, taking bigger loads, longer distances, cheaper, safer, and crucially, without the same damage to the environment.
The aircraft can reach an altitude of 4,900 meters and is designed to stay aloft for days, perhaps weeks, unmanned, and can carry cargo and duck military and commercial surveillance. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.